Sí.
Yeah, very good evening to you, and you're welcome along to yet another edition of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you between now and 8 o'clock this evening. We once again have an action-packed programme to bring you, of course, three new club champions crowned over the weekend. We'll be chatting to Liam, John and Andrew, as usual, about the games that we all enjoyed across Saturday and Sunday. Also, the Ladies Football Championship continuing. Niamh Daly is going to be joining us a little later on to review all that action, of course, as well. St. Pat's GAA, they're looking for Tralee's fittest duo. I think we might nominate Liam and John for that one. And have you ever heard of the game of paddle? It's getting very popular across Europe. We see it a lot on social media. Well, there's two men in the kingdom setting up five paddle courts. Been following their action on TikTok, would you believe it? They're following their journey of building the paddle courts here in Tralee, and they'll be in later on to explain a bit about the sport and where you'll be able to play it in Tralee. But I think the moment of the weekend belongs to Kerry FC and the Mount Hawk miracle we all got to witness on Friday evening. John Drummy and Ramona Keogh are on commentary for us, and this is roughly what it sounded like.
Daniel Akute's highlights are shining now. It's after getting inside. Here's Brozzi with the shot.
What
a fabulous goal for Kerry FC.
And
is that man again, Cian Brosnan. A brilliant finish with the right foot into the left corner of the net. Past the goalkeeper. Kerry, Robbie Cleary goes into the net to bring the ball back out. I wonder. Then Kerry FC have it over on this right-hand side. Akute has it. He goes inside. Ball crossed into the box. Chance here for Kerry FC. Joe Adams has it. He's under a bit of pressure. He's going to have to pass it back out to Ronan Tehan. Tehan goes in just on the left hand side edge of the area, and the ball goes in again. Chance for Akute now. Can he get a shot away? He's been blocked. Oh, the ball is passed. It's a goal for Kerry FC. It's a goal for Kerry. Who got it? Was it Brozzi? It was Cian Brosnan. Cian Brosnan. Brozzi has scored it for Kerry FC. He does a little dance away. We are in dreamland in Mount Hawk Park. The crowd have gone bananas across the way from us here.
This is epic.
What a result we are seeing before our eyes here. What a comeback. Cian Brosnan is kissing the sky because we know there is somebody up there who's looking down at him this evening as we get emotional thinking about that. Kerry FC have done a Liverpool. They've come from 3-0 down, and we have got 2.5 minutes of injury time to go at Mount Hawk Park.
John, Ramona, are you all right there?
I'm hanging in there, girl. I'm hanging in there.
We've been here before, John. We've done it to the dying minutes.
But the last time it was scoreless coming to this mark. Kerry FC, now they need to keep their concentration because Sligo Rovers, they are a stoppage time. There'll be a little bit extra, maybe 2 minutes, because there have been a few stoppages here for cramp and a couple of injuries. Now Akute has it. Maybe we can win this in ordinary time. Oh, lovely ball. McGrath, he's a shot. He's got through. He's not. Now Akute. It's a goal. It's a goal for Kerry FC. Daniel Akute has scored for Kerry FC. Shawnee McGrath was causing all sorts of trouble. He couldn't get the shot away. Eventually, Akute got his foot on it and has buried the ball. There is pandemonium in the stand. The fans are gone wild. Daniel Akute and all the Kerry FC subs have run down the touchline, down towards just under where it says the John O'Regan stand. Kerry FC have come from 3-0 down to lead 4-3. We've 3 minutes of injury of time to go in the second period of extra time here at Mount Hawk Park. Is this...
This is magical. This is one of those moments that you're like, is this really happening?
This is unbelievable. Will somebody give some attention to Ivan Hurley over there? Because he's gone bananas. We've all gone bananas. This is unreal. Now, the referee's gone over. I don't know if he had to show a yellow card to somebody for over-celebrating. I don't know. But anyway,
I've just been told there, John, Daniel Okuse has been involved in the four goals. What a game changer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For a guy that we haven't seen in 4 weeks, it is phenomenal.
Oh, I love it. There you go. John Drummy and Ramona Keogh with what was a fantastic call. We're joined by our football panel. I'm going to put it out to them. As sporty moments go, you're good sporting people, as we joke about the Premier League and NFL and every sort of a thing. But as sporty moments go in the county, Liam, that was special on Friday night.
Oh, that's well up there, Ivan. Unfortunately, I didn't make the game, but I was watching it on the stream. And when the third goal, and it was a fantastic third goal by Sligo, and we were kind of saying this could be a long evening now, and next thing, you know, I just thought Keane Brosnan, like I said to outside the stairs, I thought he was magical, to be fair. I think the substitutes made a massive difference, and you could see after the first goal, my brother Connor texted me and he said they're going to win this. And as time goes on, and next thing, the second one went in, and we said here goes, and it was a case of, it was the kitchen sink then was thrown, and the excitement, and but look, like you said, John, myself, a lot of people in Kerry were genuine sports supporters.
Yeah.
And especially when it's a Kerry team. And now we can be very proud of that Kerry team, because look, whether it's ladies football or rugby or Paul Nadel in the rally driving, and all these guys that have represented Kerry, with the boxer in Killarney, Kevin Cronin. We're always keeping an eye on him, we're supporting him, even though you can't be there, but I think the genuine Kerry supporter will always follow the Kerry.
Yeah, no, definitely.
As I said, the Kerry ambition.
Yeah, we are kind of very patriotic like that, John, aren't we? We do support kind of anyone that's associated with our own. But obviously just to be there on Friday night was just absolutely incredible. The atmosphere there, the way the town kind of rolled in behind it was everything kind of pointed to success. And when it went 3-0, I kind of, my own view was like, just get one now and kind of thank everyone for coming up sort of a thing. And it's like we're heading through, but to come back like that, I don't remember any game. I was in Anfield for Liverpool's 4-0 against Barcelona when they were 3-0 down in the first leg and disbeated. Like, it was just incredible. But anyway, there was plenty more. We'll chat to Kerry FC in the second hour. Dear McCarney, our resident Kerry FC man, will be on at 7:15 to give us some bit more of an insight and maybe cooling down after what was a great weekend. But as we mentioned, there was three finals down for decision across the weekend. As we start with the senior, of course, John, Dr. Crokes again proving their favourites tag. And they just look good throughout, didn't they?
Yeah, don't. And I suppose first, Evan, congratulations to the lads in Kerry FC as well. And Colin Healy and Sean O'Keefe from SD involved as well. And like yourself, it's a proud day for those lads, and a great day for sport in Kerry. You're playing the mighty Shamrock Rovers now in a semi final.
What a
dream draw! It's fantastic progression in a short space of time.
Yeah, I was actually saying this to the lads in the office, and I've missed two Kerry FC games since everything was established in 2023, and we've been to back ends of the country, Donegal, Wexford, we're in Dundalk and everything this year, and it just feels like some bit of a little reward from God above that we got a chance to go up to Talla, the biggest League of Ireland stadium, against the biggest club, and it just does feel like there's sort of a reward for kind of everything that's been put into the club over the last maybe 2.5-3 years, and to get everything off the ground, it'll be a special one. And obviously RTE television as well, huge for the profile of the club.
It's huge, Ivan. Absolutely. Because I found it with the basketball as well when I was playing with Tralee. The cup was always magical, and it was always something to get to a semi-final, because you wanted to get on TV, because they were always televised live. And the reason for TV is mainly for your sponsors, to thank your sponsors, to give them a bit of exposure and stuff like that. And it just brings a massive buzz. Yeah. And the next 3 weeks now will be magical around. And when you turn Ambrose and Timmy's head with buntings and stuff like that, you know you're doing something right, Ivan.
Well, they thought it was all up for Nigel, and I really had to convince them that it was for us.
I think they're convinced now.
What a commentary by John and Ramona on the night. It was absolutely brilliant listening back to there. Yeah. We talk about Timmy and Ambrose, but that's at another level again in another sport. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. And that kind of passion amongst people, again, for a project that's so young, is great. And I suppose we're blessed with GA down here, lads. We're on the radio every week between the league and into the championship, whatever else. And to be fair, 90% of Kerry games are probably televised, and it's just, you know, it's a different end of the spectrum here when you're in kind of the first division. You're battling. We're used to Kerry teams with good success at the top level, and obviously it's so young, it's just building. But, you know, you kind of feel now that the chance to go on the television and everything else, it'll all just be good for the profile of the club.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. So you're going to have youngsters to know that are going to be around with Kerry jerseys, Kerry FC jerseys now, and it's that's what it's all about. It's building exposure, and it's, you know, and it's like that, and it's one of our own. It's a Kerry team, which is very important.
Yeah, there's good demand for everything. Right, we'll go back to what we're most comfortable talking about. Poor Andrew Minan's waiting on the line. He'll probably want to say a word about Kerry FC as well. But
you talked about fire,
Andrew, how are you? I suppose, look, we'll go straight into the football. I suppose the Kerry FC supporters call it football as well, but we're going to Gaelic football anyway. Look, the senior championship obviously was the second game on yesterday. We'll start with that one. And again, as I asked John earlier on before we went back into Kerry FC, which seems to be on everyone's lips at the moment, a great win for Dr. Crokes.
Yeah, and a great win for Kerry FC. I'm going to have to go back to it because I just have to give a mention to myself of just what a performance Friday evening. And I couldn't, unfortunately, I couldn't watch it. I managed to attend to it, but I was listening to John and Ramon on commentary and just trying to make through their screams. I did realise we got the fourth goal, and it was just magical to listen to. And what great performance by them, great performance by the commentary team. It was just fantastic. But I suppose we are here to talk about football. And I think I said to Liam Brosnan as I came out of the ground yesterday, we met, I said, normal services have resumed, and Crokes, our club champion, once again. And I suppose Crokes kind of answered a lot of queries about their middle of the field, their middle eight. They won in the middle of the field, which they dominated Nagael in that game. They won 17 kickouts in the first half compared to Nagael's 5, and that's where they built the platform there to the for the win. They nullified that midfield threat that Nagael had. We have to talk about Mark O'Shea. He was absolutely superb in the backs. Gavin White showed his inter-county class all day. Two fantastic two-pointers in the first half, but it was all about Tony Ross and 8 points from play. And even if you look at Brian Looney winning 5 kickouts too, just ragged, and a man who's just aging like fine wine. He hasn't lost the beat, and he's just an absolute nightmare for defenders, the way he can just attack and just run through defence like that. Tony in the first half was on fire, Gavin from range, and you know, a credit to Nagael. They had a number of chances in the second half. You think about Jack Barry's effort that trailed wide early on. Sean O'Connor had a disallowed goal from a quick free. It was kind of the day of deceptive freeze. We'll talk about Emmett O'Shea's goal later on, and Nagael getting their goal finally from Dermot O'Connor, but Jack Sheehan's 2-pointer right after. But that's when Croke showed their class. Shane Murphy found Mark O'Shea. It eventually went into the hands of Alex Hennigan, who got the point. It was a vital score. It quelled that Nagael comeback, and they got their 5-point lead once again, and another deserved win for Dr. Crokes.
Yeah, Liam, there's actually a lovely line in the middle of the report that was in the Kerry Man in the game, and it says the Nagael victory would have been the fairy tale ending to their Cinderella season, but Dr. Crokes don't do sentiments, and probably couldn't be worded better, I suppose. You know, a lot of people were rooting on Nagael, of course, probably the underdog for the season, and as I said, a Cinderella season, but like that, Crokes were there to do a job, and they did it.
Yeah, fantastic season by Nagael, but like you said, Dr. Crokes do what Dr. Crokes do well. And they just win football matches. And look, we even said it myself and John at half time, you know, even though they were against the breeze in the second half, like Crokes just play as well against the breeze as they do with the breeze. And it's just, you know, and we get a bit of stick at times here, you know, about Crokes, why we talk so well about them, but you have no other choice, because they are so well balanced and so well coached. And you know, and I said it last week about their standards, how they hold themselves to a very high standard even on the field. And if you do something wrong, and I heard Tony's interview today at lunch hour with Timmy Moynihan, and he said the exact same thing. He said, you make a mistake, you'll be left know about it from the sideline or from the players, you know. So their standards are so high. And you know, the game yesterday, like Gavin White, just to see the legs that man has, and that just when he opens up, you know, he's an Olympic sprinter, you know, and he's faster with the ball than what he is without the ball. And then Mark Shea, I think this season really has, and we've been big fans, John and myself here, of Mark Shea down through with the last couple of years, you know. But I think I suppose the run with Kerry and doing so well, the confidence he's after gaining, you know, it's he was outstanding. The balls he was catching yesterday. Billy Courtney, very impressed with him as well now yesterday again, and in the semi final as well. You know, and then when you go up front, when you have the likes of Tony Brosnan inside, and people say right that teams with, you know, how can they win with one forward, but when you have a marquee forward like that, and when you have players outside, that every ball that Tony got yesterday was balls bouncing in front of him. No, yeah. Can you imagine if Crokes had the likes of David Clifford or someone like that, or if he was playing there, the ball that David would be getting, you know? So it's just it's just the way, I think, from 6 years of age up to senior, you know, it's the way they're trained, the way they're coached, and you can see it when they come to days like this, you know, they're just they're ruthless, you know?
Yeah, we covered here actually on Saturday, you said that from the underage, and there was the Colin Cooper blitz was on, and you know, you just, they won that out there, bringing clubs from down around the country. But just goes to show kind of what's been done inside in the Crokes and that kind of underage. John, I suppose the only time that maybe I personally thought sitting inside here listening and watching to was that when Nigel got the goal, they got the 2-pointer in the goal, they brought it back, was I think to 4 points, something kind of late on in the game. The game was probably won for Crokes, but Nigel might have felt that there was a chance there to maybe kicked on maybe another 2-pointer that was right there.
Yeah, there was a chance, I suppose, Ivan, and you know, it's there was talk about the middle third of the field beforehand, and rightly so. I think the way Andrew Barry, Jack Barry, Dermot Connor, Oisín Mansell, maybe Tomás O'Hanafín were playing, but you know, they came up against a bang on form Crokes, and I think there's more in this Crokes team. You know, they were comfortable throughout, the style of play they have, you know, and agreeing with Liam, the guys he mentioned there, they were outstanding. Mark O'Shea has really developed into a top-class midfielder. He was good.
Yeah.
You know, we rated him and we spoke about him for the last number of years. But
Shane Murphy's kickouts as well, John.
Shane Murphy's kickouts, absolutely superb. And one man that is, I think this is the guy, he's the orchestrator of the whole setup, I think, is Gavin Shea.
Yeah.
You know, he's back in defence, he's pointing where to go, he's available for the pass all the time, he never gives the ball away, he'll turn, he'll twist, he'll recycle, and, you know, Brian Looney. But Keane McMahon again yesterday, he had what an hour he put in, or 50 minutes, whatever, he was taken off maybe about 8 or 10 minutes to go, kicked a great point. But, you know, Nigel really well to get to the final, but Dr. Crokes, they're a different level. I think their coaching methods, the style of play they have, how they can adapt to different conditions, and this is down to one man, I think, Pat O'Shea. He's a genius, really, as a tactician. He's one of the best coaches in the country. There's no question or doubt about it. And, you know, he wants no limelight. He takes a back seat, but you watch him on the line. He's infectious. When he barks, they listen. And I thought that...
There's fear there, like...
Fear there.
Yeah, but respect at the
with
same time.
With all respect. Yeah. And it's to get the best out of the lads he has. And if they make a mistake, they know about it. But I think something I saw last night was a very poignant moment. A photograph came through of the squad at Jamie Doolan's grave. I think that says it all about the Crokes. On and off the field, they do everything right. What a moment. In a night of celebration, they went out first. And they went to their former teammate and a man they respected.
Yeah.
And I think it speaking to people today, it was something everybody spoke about, what they did. And that sums it up. It's a game of football at the end of the day, but they didn't forget their former teammate and their great friend.
Yeah, no, it was a beautiful moment. And like that, I think a lot of people had seen the photographs on social media late last night when that came through. Andrew, I suppose, you know, you look at the Crokes and you're kind of saying there's a lot of kind of names that are starting to come through. We saw Mark O'Shea break in with the Kerry team this year, and there's always kind of new names in around the Crokes. But then it's the old stalwarts. We always see Brian Lurie, Kieran O'Leary coming in off the bench as well. There are some lads there who might have the bit of age, but they're still doing a job for the Crokes.
Yeah, and it's frightening. I don't know what kind of what they're doing inside there. What's their routine? But they just seem to be getting better and better, and they know their role, which I think is so impressive. They're able to adapt too. You look at lads like Kieran O'Leary. How many important performances he's put in over the last 1 or 2 years in an impact sub role for Crokes? I think he was him who got the goal last year, or he got a very important score definitely versus Dingle in that county final. They just play huge roles, and I mentioned Brian Looney there. A man who just does not seem to age. And you think about, at the same time, there is young players coming through. You look at maybe Neil O'Shea, Evan Looney, Keane McMahon, but like, they can look to these fellas and like the longevity of their careers and how they still put it in week out for the Crokes. Brian Looney contributing a point again yesterday, and look, it's just kind of it's the old adage of, you know, like fine wine that I was saying earlier, and they can depend on these fellas still. And, you know, they don't look out of place, which is the impressive part too. They can last the full, like, Looney stayed on for the full 60 minutes yesterday, and they're key contributors still. And, you know, that's, I suppose it's what you have to command the Crokes, that they can keep these lads at such great fitness. And I suppose the drive, like, you know, Crokes win so, they are the standard bearers in the county. They are, you know, two-time back-to-back champions now, but these lads are still so driven to get over the line and win another club championship.
Liam, I suppose obviously we've got a county championship to come, so not necessarily guaranteed that Dr. Crokes will represent Kerry in Munster and All-Ireland, but you'd have to look at this team and those names and say they've got a great chance of going all the way if they do come out of the county.
Oh, they have. They're the team to beat, Ivan. For me, I think Crokes are better than what they were last year. I think they've got stronger, they got more experienced. You even look at their bench yesterday, like some Mark Cooper, who's another young guy, Alex Hinnigan, and all these guys. You know, I know guys there, the likes of Mike Lynch, who was very close to the team last year, Mark Fitzgerald, who I had involved with the college, all these guys. There's a lot of young guys there that could fit into that Crokes team. Very easy, you know. So they are going to be a handful in the county championship. For me, I think the only team that could give Crokes a right go of it, for me at the moment, would be a fully fit Dingle. No, because and they want a fully fit Dingle. You know, I know they're going to be missing Barry Dan and stuff like that. But if Dingle got their full team back, I think they would have with the Gainies up front, you know, and with Tom Sullivan back. I think that it'd be a right battle. We saw it last year in the county final. But it's going to take a big effort from any team to knock Crokes off their perch, because you could see from yesterday that they're not finished at all yet. They have other things in their mind. They mightn't come out and say it, but I think last year that All-Ireland campaign run, I think they have a bit of unfinished business there. And you'd be a fool now, Ivan, to bet against them at the way they're going at the moment, because they are lively.
And I suppose, Liam, Charlie Keating, no part
yesterday. Is right, yeah.
David Shaw just came on for a token just as captain near the end. So you look at the strength and depth. I totally agree with you, I think, definitely. But Dingle with a fully fit, outside of Barry Dan, if they have everybody else,
you'd have a good game.
With some game, yeah.
You'd have a good game. But getting back to Shane Murphy's kick-outs yesterday, enough people took notice of it, but there was guys, he was hitting it 60 yards for the Crokes guys, just running onto it. They didn't have to break stride. And I think when Nigel came back, actually, and brought it to the 4 points, it was the kick-out that got down the field. I think the kick out went 60-65 yards. Next thing they got, Alex Hinnigan got on the ball and ball over the bar. So now these small little, as we say, cute things, they seem to do it the whole time. So no, but fair play to Nigel. Like, I thought Stephen Ockenbar had a great game yesterday. He tried hard. You know,
Oisín Mansell
tried hard. I mean, look, Dermot O'Connor, we all saw very early in the game, he was in trouble with the shoulder, and he was a huge downer, I suppose, for Nigel, because he spent a lot of the game inside in the full forward line, trying to stay away from, you know, trying to get belted and stuff like that. You know, so I suppose no more leg fuss with Paddy. It was a kind of a spanner in the works, all right, John, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And Jack Sheehan really kicked 5 or 6 points yesterday from play, did really well. But I think Dermot O'Connor, the shoulder after a few minutes, you know, it looked as if it was dropped down again, and the way he was worked on by the physio, he didn't want to go off for the club. That says a lot about the man as well, you know, and they can take great heart when they look back in the year. Getting to club final, I know they lost it, that's disappointing from their point of view, but what strides they've made and what confidence they've brought, and, you know, the excitement they brought yesterday was brilliant, and I'm glad from their point of view that they got the goal and they came good near the end, because it is very important. You know, it could have been 8 or 10 points, but it wasn't.
Yeah, they brought it right back in, and again, national TV coverage, great for the likes of Nigel and Dr. Crokes as well. It's great to see the game live, as well as obviously have it here on Radio Kerry. Well, keep the text and comments coming into us. The lines are open, 083 300 3300 is text or WhatsApp, or you can give the studio a call at 066 712 3666. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with the intermediate after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel,
Kerry's first B-Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Yeah, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. The text line's flooding in, thankfully. You can get in touch, as we mentioned before the break, 083 300 3300. Could see Tony Broston starting for Kerry next year instead of the likes of Dylan Ganey if he keeps up this form. I think we've got so many to choose from the forward line. There'll be no one maybe instead of somebody, but it's great to have the options, Liam, isn't it?
It's fantastic, yeah. Not only up front. Now look at our midfield options we're going to have for the year ahead as well, and defensively. And you know, so it's, yeah, Jack O'Connor will be licking his lips up in the stand watching all these fellas going well.
Yeah, you mentioned six intercounty players with Crows. There might be a few more come next year. Crows down a few bodies and it doesn't seem to bother them. Charlie Keating, Mikey Lynch and David Shaw when he came on at the end. The power of Pat O'Shea, nearly relegated the year before, he joined up again. Nigel can hold their heads held high after being written off in every game. Can Crokes win the county championship and go as far as the All-Ireland? I think we touched on that one as well. One man, Liam, you mentioned before, we're off air there, you wanted to give a mention to, was Michael Potty. Another great game yesterday as well.
A fantastic game yesterday, Ivan. No, and a very good semi-final as well. But I thought every time he got on the ball yesterday, he was just a thorn in the side for Nigel, and he's driving forward and a very smart footballer as well. You know, himself and Fionn Fitzgerald inside, another man we have to mention, because when we're on about golden oldies, I think this fella's getting, he's no more like Brian Looney, he's getting better with age, and he's organising everything from the full back line.
Yeah, we'll move away from the senior. You can keep your comments coming in on it, of course. We'll move away for now and talk about the intermediate, of course, Fossa and Ungueltucht. Andrew, it was a win for the men from the West in the end. Fossa will be disappointed, of course, to kind of maybe lose Paddy Clifford in the way they did throughout the game. But that being said, all credit due to Ungueltucht.
Yeah, without a doubt, Ivan, deserving winners on the day. And the only unbeaten team, I believe, all championship, they had a draw versus Castle Island in the first weekend. And you look back maybe to the start of February or the end of February when the Aidan Walsh transfer was announced. That was a kind of a statement of intent at the time to hear that Aidan Walsh was moving from Kanturk to Ungueltucht. It's paid off and they're back in senior for the first time since 2018. And look, obviously, Paddy Clifford's injury, that was a huge loss to Fossa. He did battle it out and was and taken off with around 5-10 minutes to go. He did battle hard on the day, to be fair, but I think if one man who drove on Ungueltucht over the line yesterday and was pumped all day long, Brian O'Bugliuk, that performance yesterday is one of those that would be spoken for years to come in the haunts of West Kerry. 9 points all from play, including 4 2-pointers. He was just fantastic all day, and played into a defensive role in the second half, shadowing David Clifford alongside Fran Sauerland, who man-marked him all day. And it was just a complete performance from Ungueltucht. Someone said to me at full time, if there was an award to go to the management did absolutely superb yesterday. Fergal O'Shea, Yves Darrow Canada, and Conal O'Curdove, and of course Portugal Concour there. It was built on a terrific first half. They led by 7 at the break, and it was a real exhibition in playing against the wind in the second half. They only conceded 7 points, got 5 points themselves, and all this starting O'Bugliuk scored on the day. So that's an interesting stat to pull from the game.
Yeah, good day for the O'Bugliuks. John, I suppose kind of at half time it was 14 points to 1-4, and Fuss were going to be playing with the wind in the second half. Obviously Gwedges had a better half with the wind, to be fair to them as well, but maybe thought Fuss still had a bit more of a game to play in the second half than what transpired.
Yeah, we were expecting that, Ivan, that they would kick on. But I suppose the injuries to Paddy and to Matt Rennie, they were obviously hampered, and they were a huge loss to them. I'm not so sure on the day, you know, the way the Gaeltacht played, the setup they had, you know, defensively they were outstanding. But Fossa will be disappointed. You know, they were second to every ball. They weren't winning the breaking ball, and they found it difficult to break down that Gaeltacht defence. I suppose they were rather fortunate maybe with the goal from Emmett O'Shea. It was quick thinking by the full forward, yeah. You know, to stick it in the corner of the net.
But if it were the Gaeltacht management team, you wouldn't be happy with it.
No. And I suppose great credit due to the Gaeltacht management team, because they resisted the temptation of putting Brian O'Begley on one of the key men.
Which was a big one. Yeah.
That was a huge call, because it left him play his game. But on the other side of it, Fossa will be saying, how did he get so much room? Because he kicked some superb scores, and he did it again and again and again. 9 points, incredible kicking. I thought that Aidan Welsh in the middle of the field, he held his best 60 minutes of the season for the final. Mm-hmm. You know, we know the quality of the former Cork star, but he was absolutely outstanding, showed all his experience. Cathal Oibigleic, we mentioned a while ago about players for the future. This guy, he has it. Mm-hmm. He's been in with Kerry. He's going to add
better
to that dilemma
get, yeah.
around the middle of the field for yeah. Jack. Better he'll get. But what about the cornerback, Aidan Oibigleic? Like, what about the display? The runs in the second half. Mm-hmm. Incredible. You know, in an energy-sapping game, he went from defence to attack, kicked a superb point, Aidan O'Connor, Rory Begley, back from an injury. You need a bit of luck. He had two cruciates. He's back fully fit. What a talent he has. But it was a huge performance and a huge victory for Ngaeltacht. And, you know, listening to Dara Kinnaird afterwards, it showed, I think he said something which really made an imprint in me, was Brian O'Begley, he said, during the year, he turned up at Galler's for training in the middle of Kerry's scene.
Yeah.
He was keeping an eye on the boys. There was a vision. He was there to urge them on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a huge statement from a county player. And when a player does that, you know, he senses something. And, you know, proud club back there, great tradition. They're back at the senior table again. And, you know, they'll give Munster a real shot as well, to be honest. And I suppose the other player, Sean O'Keefe at wing forward, what a display he gave yesterday, both in defence and attack. A fantastic performance. Fossa will be disappointed. You know, of course they look at the injuries. But on the day, they were a bit flat, I think. They've given us great value for money, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think it showed. We've been speaking here for quite some time about the value of the Cliffords and the value of Paddy Clifford.
Yeah.
I can tell you one thing. We saw it yesterday when he wasn't at his best. The lack of value. And he's crucial to Fossa and to Kerry. Yeah. And when he wasn't at his best yesterday, you could see he was missed badly. But Paddy will be back and so will Fossa.
Yeah. Liam, that Emmett O'Shea goal is something out of David Clifford's playbook. The free kick that he managed to roll in was quite a bit of skill, something we haven't seen. It's doing the rounds on social media as well. It's nice to see someone use a bit of ingenuity when they only put two men back on the line to try stop even thinking about going for goal there. Nine times a tender topped it over.
It was very, very good thinking by him. And we actually set it up in the box. We said, he should go for goal here. We should go for goal. Because they were only ambling back to the line, really.
Yeah.
And that's why I said the Gaeltacht management wouldn't be happy with it. Because if it happened under 14, you'd be given out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Line your goals at all costs. You know, and it was just that little bit of cuteness. And it brought Fossa kind of back into it, because it was 11 points to 3 at that stage.
Yeah.
And no, Gaeltacht work very well in control. No, and it brought it back to 1-3 to 11 points. So it gave him a bit of a lifeline going in at half time. But I suppose in the other side of it, and it was said yesterday a few times, was there was a breeze, there was a storm really inside in Tralee yesterday.
It was, yeah.
Like, but that's a breeze down to the Gaeltacht boys. And I think I heard one of their interviews today as well at lunch hour, and they said, look, that they didn't matter playing against the breeze or playing with the breeze, because they're so used to the breeze. You know, and it's true that because probably Galleris is probably one of the windiest spots you'll ever get, even during the summer. You know, so the breeze doesn't bother them. But I would agree with Andrew and John. I think the big signing this year was Aidan Welsh, because he was a leader around the middle of the field, and there was a lot of big bodies around the middle of the field yesterday. But he showed his class. Especially defensively, he turned the ball over a couple of times for being in the right place. He got some great steals. No, he caught some great ball. He was always in the right position at the right time, and that doesn't happen by fluke. You could see there was class there, and he started a lot of their attacks. And I thought another man that made a big difference as well was Tomás O'Shea, as I call him, the dancer, when he came on. Mm-hmm. He was full of energy, full of speed when he got the ball. He ran at Fossa, and I think, look, overall, I know Paddy's injury was a huge loss, and it could be all what ifs, but I think Gaeltacht, when they came out with their game plan, was very smart, and they executed it very well. And like John said, I think the big thing for me in the game plan was not matching up Breen with Paddy or David, because Breen had 9 points kicked before Fossa realised, what are we going to do with this fella?
Yeah. Andrew, I suppose from on Gaelic side of things, it's great to see them back at senior. You mentioned there it's their first time since 2018. They are kind of a tradition club and always a club that was always up and about there and a difficult team to beat. And, you know, when you go down to intermediate, it is hard to come out of it. But we've seen, you know, in patches from Gaelic over the last couple of years, they were capable. And this team definitely looks the strongest to lead them into senior next year as well.
Without a doubt, Ivan. And I think next year is 25 years since 2001 when they won the county championship, that famous team, you know, the McGarrels and the O'Shea's back then. So a proud traditional side on Gaeltacht. And, you know, over the last couple of years have, you know, not performed. And I think a lot of them mentioned that they were sick of the underperformances that they were putting in. They didn't make it out of their group last year. And now this year, when you look at the side that they have and some of the players that they have too, in all lines of the field, and they're after building up quite the team, and like, and from young to, you know, veterans, it's fairly stacked. And like Aidan O'Bioglíoch yesterday, John mentioned him, what a fantastic performance he put in. He's been a very impressive underage player for Kerry over the last couple of years, and the 2 points he got yesterday, particularly the second one, it was basketball like. I'm not sure if he's been playing basketball, but he did a lovely twist around a U-turn and kicked it over the bar. Breen O'Bioglíoch's driving them on. Aidan Walsh, of course, I think he's 35 or 6, didn't look one bit over that sort of age yesterday. And they're after building quite the panel. And I was looking through the senior teams this year, and, you know, Gaeltacht will not find themselves out of place whatsoever next year, and I won't be surprised to see them pull not one but a couple of scalps in the senior championship.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to be the away team heading to Galleries in the senior championship next year. Liam, I suppose on the other side of the coin, there's always a loser, unfortunately, in these finals. But for Fuss, I suppose, going a step further, getting to the final this year, they'll be there and thereabouts for the next couple of years with the Cliffords, and it would be great to see them at least get 1 year, you know, at senior football with Fuss. But they'll be there and thereabouts again. There's no fear Fuss are going anywhere and out of the intermediate anytime soon.
Without a doubt, Ivan. Look, and when you have the two Cliffords and you can build around them, and I think Fuss are starting to do that. Look, it wasn't too long ago when they were a junior side. They're up at intermediate now, and they're not too far away. They're like, they were only you could say 60 minutes away from getting into the senior thing here in Kerry. But like, it'll be experience for the young fellas. I think Fintan Coffey is probably the oldest guy that they have in the squad, and everybody else, they're all young guys. You have guys there like the Owen Talbert, Sam Buckley, you know, all these guys, Keane O'Shea, Imit O'Shea, you know, they're going nowhere for a long time. You have the likes of Harry Buckley, you know. So they have the talent there, and they proved it this year in the County League. You know, they had some very good results without the Cliffords. Yeah. You know, so I know it's hard to go back to the well now and start all over again. But look, that's what every club will have to do. But the Fossa, they can keep building, and I think it's no more like the game we're going to talk next with Ballymac. You know, hurt can be a good medicine as well. You know, so it'll bring that. Maybe you go back to training, you might try that a little bit harder, and you might try that, you know, a bit longer, and you'll build up a bit of character.
Yeah, I'm sure the likes of David and Paddy coming back anyway will want to win an intermediate with Fossa after winning the junior Premier, and obviously up to the All-Ireland as well. They'll want to go one better, and they'll want to leave that little legacy on their club. John, just back to Ungrated before we finish up and go for a break. It does beg the question as to what will happen West Kerry next year, of course, in the county championship. Gaeltacht going up to senior now, so the talk is, or if you minus this year's from next year, you're going to have three clubs in a West Kerry district next year. Bit unbalanced what we've seen in North Kerry this year, so it might give a few people a headache come next February, March, when the fixture, the master plan's being drawn up. What will happen with West Kerry?
Yeah, it happened before, Ivan, and it looks like it's going to happen again, you know, because you progress when you come out of your grade and you go up, you've no choice but to go up. And but I think Gaeltacht are well able for senior football, you know, and they have the nucleus of a very good squad. They have good young lads coming through, and, you know, a great management team. You know, when you see the likes of Fergal Shea there and Derek Kinnaid, Conlo Crowley, Clough Podrigo, Conacour, great guys, and, you know, their feet are on the ground. They're great leaders. And I suppose, you know, you look at the Sutherlands yesterday as well, and Paddy Gaucher, Paddy Gog, we called him, but he's gone as Paddy Gaucher, you know, the experience. And I think one other thing is, I didn't actually hear it, but Franz, the captain, give some speech, Os Gaeilge give from the steps of the stand in Austin Stack Park,
yeah.
And you know, a credit to them, and it's great to hear them speaking our native language too, you know, and they're looking forward to the club championship now, I've no doubt. And I suppose it was mentioned yesterday, I think, of some of the people that have the work put in, you know, down the years, and the likes of Tom Crowley and the great Paddy O'Shea and Liam O'Rourke and these guys. Very proud day for them, you know. Yeah. As in every club, you have these men that have that have set the seeds, and now they're developing, and you know, it's a great time for Gaeltacht, and you know, they'll go up to seniors with great pride.
Yeah, you know, you're kind of saying the Irish Chairman's kind of put it back in the bed. It's a great time for the rural club, isn't it? I mean, you're looking at how I say it in Galleris Gate, you know, you're as far west as you can go. Really, really proud people. And we talk about this rural depopulation and everything else, but it's a win for the small guys and the kind of the rural club. It would be great to see them go all the way to the Munster final, and obviously to Croke Park as well, and hopefully another speech fully Os Gaeilge as well. Just one or two on the intermediate before we go for a break. Well done to on Gaeltacht. It was excellent team performance both offensively and defensively in the second half. Aidan Walsh, or Aidan Vernock as he's known, is some addition, but 9 points from play by County Man Brino Lee was a class apart. My main question is, with Anguilla going senior, this will cripple West Kerry in next year's county championship. Will the county board look into realignment club wise, as having only 3 in West Kerry as opposed to 13 or 14 in North Kerry is seriously imbalanced? I also watched the Kerry FC game in Jimmy Bryan's on Friday night. The great Ambrose was also there when the final whistle went. A shout went out. It's great that we're heading to an All-Ireland semi-final now. Two parts to that question. Liam, I suppose that imbalance, look, again, it's world folks, and this year's county championship, I suppose, first and foremost, that is something that they will have to look at maybe next year now as well with West Kerry.
It probably will, and I don't know if the option there, maybe the Gaeltacht might want to go. I know they'll go senior club on their own, but maybe they want to stay with West Kerry. Is there a rule there? I'm not sure. Is there a rule that they have to go out on their own? Maybe they can say, I want to stay with West Kerry, because they are a very proud club. They are very proud of their West Kerry heritage and stuff like that. And I often heard Dara Kinnaird, and he's a fantastic speaker, you know, and he's very genuine as well, you know, about everything the Gaeltacht. So I'd be very surprised if they say, right, we'll go a club senior. I wouldn't be very surprised, and they could stay with West Kerry, you know. So as they say, watch this space. But it would decimate really West Kerry if you have Dingle and Gaeltacht out of it. So can you imagine if West Kerry had Dingle and Gaeltacht and Ónascall, Castle Gregory, and I'm short one, aren't I? Lisbol,
Ónascall, Castle Gregory.
So
yeah.
You'd have some district competition then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. The second part of that question: will we convert Ambrose O'Donovan to a soccer man?
You're 45% there now, Ivan.
We're getting there.
Win the next day now, and I'd say you could be well up in the maybe 1780s for the final. You might actually get him to wear a jersey to go.
What do you find the Aviva Stadium instead of Croke Park?
He'd find it. Get
him there.
Tell him there's a pub outside the front door.
Is it wise playing with an injury last weekend? Sean O'Shea did this weekend. Paddy Clifford and Dearan O'Connor played with injury. I know how much it means these guys to play for their club, but is it worth risking long term injuries, especially Dearan O'Connor, who has a shoulder injury? That is a good point, John. And I mean, there is kind of a, you know, Charles sent that in to us there. There is kind of a thing of where you want to give back to the club who you've missed the county league with. You've been playing with Kerry. You won an All-Ireland. You're coming in kind of off the back of a really good year and everything else. No, Dermot came back in late in the contest. But it is a tough balance, I suppose. If a player feels he can go out and play and a physio tells him he can, he will go out and play. And I suppose they do want to give back to the club a small bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt. A very good question, all right, in fairness, by Charles. But I have a feeling the level the lads are at, that they're being advised, even though the Kerry season is over, they're still being guided by the strength and conditioning people and by the medical staff. What I'm led to believe is that the Dermot O'Connor had the damage done, and that, you know, he was going to play.
He needs an operation anyway.
Yeah, he needs an operation anyway. Yep. Not so sure about Paddy and Shawnee, but obviously, look, it's there's two ways of looking at this. We're not talking about the guys in particular, but if the county player doesn't play because of an injury, there'll be a certain element out there saying, you think he took out for the club anyway. And when he talks out then, there's another section saying, it's foolish tugging out when he's not injured. But if you're going to do a long-term injury, I would think they'd be advised not to play. That's the reading of it I'd have.
Yeah, absolutely. Time to go for a quick break. We still have the Junior Premier to chat about. We're quickly running out of time. 083 300 3300.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Now you're welcome back to the programme. Notwithstanding that the County Senior Football Championship is the premier competition, why are the senior club champions not automatically allowed to represent Kerry when this happens at intermediate and premier junior levels? This would assist in the crowded calendar a little, given more time for the senior championship. The present club championship are extremely rushed week on week. Finalists in these competitions should have a 2-week lead in to the various finals to allow for better preparation as well as recovery from injuries. Imagine if Paddy Clifford and Matt Rennie from Fuss had another week to recover. Good to see the long gap between the semi-finals and the finals in previous years was remedied this year. To reduce the dead rubber games in the group stages, the winners in the opening games should play one another in the second round. And that's from Sean De Bruyne, who's always a wealth of knowledge. I think, Liam, the answer to the senior is that they want the clubs to go out and be competitive in the county championship and still fight for a place for Munster, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I suppose, look, we could sit around this table in Argo and debate this, you know, over and back.
We tend to do it every year.
And it's the same topic, the same conversation comes up, you know. And Sean is dead right. You know, with everything he said there, he's hit the nail on the head. But unfortunately, it's not our call.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, one team that won't be worried about a county championship anyway, from a club perspective, will be Ballymacallaghet. Finally, Andrew getting over the line. I thought it was going to be Kerry FC needing penalties on Friday night, but it was in fact Ballymac needed them, and a couple of heroes in there to finally get over the line in the Junior Premier.
Yeah, finally getting over the line is right. And I suppose it was only right for Ballymac that a stalwart like Aidan Breen scored the winning penalty for them. The two semi-finalists of 2024 who lost on penalties, of course, had to go to penalties, I suppose, this year to decide this year's final. And it was a bit of a slow burner of a game, but the final, I suppose, extra time and the final 10 minutes of normal time were absolutely exhilarating. And it's now 6 years in a row that the Junior Premier final in Kerry has needed more than 60 minutes to decide the game, which is just maddening. So if you're backing anything for a Junior Premier final, back the draw, because you're bound to get your money's worth that time. But yeah, the final couple of minutes of extra time, I mean, Dara Broderick, who had a superb performance for Ballymac, Martin McKivergan too, I'll give a quick mention to him, he was brilliant on the day when he came on. He fisted the goal, Dara Broderick, and you think that was game over. But Sennins, they hung on. It was quite reminiscent to the 2023 final of Ballymac and Listowel, but Sennins this time they came down the field, they worked the ball, and it was Conor Kennelly who had a great game all day, the wing back, finishing the goal. And unfortunately for them, their breach gave Ballymac a free, and that brought the game to penalties. But it also seemed like at the same time that Ballymac, you know, there was just a curse over them that they were never going to get over the line with two or three 13 yard frees that they missed in throughout that game, and so many ghosts banished by them. Even the celebrations after, they weren't of elation, they're more nearly of relief for them. And you know, fair play to them, they're over the line now, over that hump, and they're up to intermediate. And a great day for Ballymac.
Yeah, definitely. Andrew, it was quite the finish, John, wasn't it, with the end of extra time. There was goals, there was points, there was two pointers. It was just absolutely a crazy end of football match, but thoroughly entertaining.
Hugely entertaining, Ivan. Fantastic game, fantastic endeavour, and great quality. You know, it was a game with swings and roundabouts. It looked for long periods that St. Sinan's would do enough, inspired by Conor Kennelly. Thought he was outstanding from wing back. You know, Shawnee McGrath likewise, and Sean O'Connor kicking some great scores. Killian Trent and Padraig Quill doing well around the middle. And then, I suppose, the introduction of Martin McKivergan, you know, he really took the game by the scruff of the neck. It is supported by Aidan Breen, Dara Broderick, and Niall Collins ended up with 1-2. And they gained in momentum, I suppose, you know. The narrow line in between winning and losing, like the two up that they were caught for Liam, you know, that was a killer from a St. Sinan's point of view. But, you know, Ballymac won't argue with it. They've been, like we said last week, it was time for Ballymac to win it. You know, that time had come. But sometimes it's very difficult to win. But they did win it. And I suppose a lovely touch by Ian Blake afterwards when he mentioned the late Luke Sills, his father, Tony's selector. I think it puts everything into perspective, Ivan. And we've seen this quite a lot. When a team and a parish and a community are struck by tragedy, then it knits them together.
Yeah.
And this certainly knitted Ballymac, if they needed to be knitted together.
Yeah.
And what a performance. You could see the joy at the end, the euphoria, the emotion. It was all in one. And as Andrew said, Aidan Breen, the way he stroked that penalty, as cool as a breeze, and he just turned and, you know, celebrations began.
We get him signed up for the FAI Cup semi-final, maybe. Liam, look, again, look, heartbreak for St. Siddons. It's not a nice way to lose a game. We've been on the losing end. I know what it's like. It's tough for them, but they'll rightly bounce back. And to be fair, every year, all the talk is with Barry McKettigan. It's like, reminded me actually on Saturday of Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. It's like, what are we going to talk about next year with Barry Mack out of the Junior Premier? And credit due to them as well. They'll have a good battle in the intermediate, but St. Siddons, again, next year, without the likes of Barry Mack inside there, they'll be seen as one of the favourites.
Oh, definitely. With the last couple of years, Siddons are knocking at the door. You know, and I think, look, it looked like a game for me Saturday night that none of the two teams wanted to win it. You know, there was chances, and it was a 14-yard freeze, and it was saying, Jesus, they were kicking
a bit of nervousness stuff.
There was
nervousness, teams.
Yeah. And look, to be fair, like, I don't think there's many people that would begrudge Ballymac of this, because the last few years have been a roller coaster for them. You know, I think they lost to Listowel after extra time. You know, they lost to Fieries in Pilties, and there they go again into another extra time in Pilties this year. You know, it was absorbing, it was dramatic, it was everything you could ask for in a final. And I think that little passage summed up the game for me, was when Dara Broderick got the fist of goal from the kick from Dara O'Regan in, and next thing Conor Kennelly hit the net at the bottom. And then you said, Siddons, I was sitting down saying, Siddons have it, and next in the breach. You know, it just summed up the whole game, because it was a game of ebbs and flows and mistakes and everything, and fantastic football. And, you know, and I do think that, you know, Lord Merson, Luke Sills was definitely there pushing them over the line this time, because they needed that little push over the line, because they had chances, but they just couldn't. But you would see, you know, that there was something willing them on. And I think, because any other team, you know, that when Siddons went down and got the ball, you'd have our hands in our head. No,
yeah.
But next thing, they got that little bit of luck. And I think that's one thing in football. You need that little bit of luck as well. And Ballymac got that. And it's like the old saying, you know, I suppose hurt with the last couple of years. I said it a couple of weeks ago, Ballymac would have loved to have pressed the fast forward button to get to this final, you know, and skip all the because everyone knew they were going to get to the final without, and we didn't want to be saying it. But I think there'll be a lot of teams next year in this division with Ballymac gone out of it, we'll say. And no more like my own Curragh that are involved with it as well. No, they'll always say, no, look, we've a good chance, because Curragh and Siddons had a fair battle this year as well. So that's the one good thing in Kerry when it comes to championship. Any team is up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely. We're literally into the last 30 seconds. Don't want to forget that a good win for Tarbert over Moyvan in the little derby in Ballydunhill, 3:15 to 1:15, and of course Bale beating Cordell by 10 points, 122 to 112. That junior final coming up, of course, and next weekend we've got to enjoy the county championship as well. So I'm off to Athlone next week with Kerry FC. Let's see if we join my team. So we might have again, first round on, but we might have a good preview of the Garvey Super League County Senior Football Championship next weekend. Hard to believe the clubs have come to an end. Lads, thanks very much for popping into us, and to Andrew on the phone as well. And as I said, plenty more football action to come throughout the winter, and we're looking forward to the Munster and All-Ireland series as well. But it's time to head off for news at 7 o'clock.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Rightio, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening. Keep your comments coming in. You can give a call 066-71-23666, or you can text or WhatsApp 083-300-3300. If you want to get in touch when the show isn't on air, you can, of course, email the Terrace Talk team. It's terracetalk@radiokerry.com. kerry.ie, and that'll get you in touch with us during the week. If you have anything maybe coming up with your club or anything like that, or if there's a couple of points you want to make on any sort of sporting events in the county, feel free to get in touch with us, and we will try our best to cover as much as we possibly can. Of course, as we covered the men's football over the last couple of weeks, we'll also be covering the ladies, of course, and it's getting down to the nitty gritty now in the Bonsecours Ladies Football County Championships, of course. In the absence of Dan Kearney tonight, we've listed our very own Niamh Daly, who, of course, is a massive advocate for ladies football. Niamh, good evening to you. I suppose we start with the senior, as is kind of become customary on this slot. Yes. And we'll start off with Fionnuala St. Sennans against Dr. Crokes, and a good contest there.
Yes, so that took place out in Mount Cole, and it was Fionnuala St. Sennans. They booked their place into the semi-finals with a 2-10 victory at 11 points over Dr. Crokes, and two goals inside the opening 10 minutes really set the tone there. Miriam O'Keefe finished the first after a slick counter-attack before Ava O'Connor buried the second one with pinpoint accuracy, and from there the home side, they just always had that bit of an edge. Mm-hmm. And then outstanding performance by Kerry's Niamh Carmody, top scoring with 6 points, while O'Keefe ended with 1-3. So, and then there was the return. Now, she's been playing this year, Louise Galvin. She just drove her team forward from midfield, and Katrina Dillon was constantly probing as well. And then Crokes, you could see there's obviously that missing star that is Kaylee Cronin. They did fight bravely with some strong displays from Siobhan Burns, Julie Delaney, Kate Stack, Leah McMahon and the Brosnan sisters, but they never moved the ball quickly enough with the wind, and they just couldn't break down a stubborn home defence. There was a late push, including a great save from keeper Liz Houlihan to deny Amanda Brosnan. But yeah, it was St. Sennans Fionnuala that held firm to finish.
Yeah, and Southern Gael continuing a very strong championship so far. They had a good win over Scarty Glen.
Yes, very, very good win. So they powered their way into the semi-finals with a commanding win. And it was a very, very blustery day. Playing against a strong wind in the first half, they showed great composure by keeping the ball low and striking, wait for it, 6 goals before the break.
Wow.
Yeah, and Scarty Glen, they did battle hard with Shauna Tagney finding the net and Denise Dunlea impressing with some fine long range points, but they trailed 6-2 to 1-6 at half time. And then in the second half, Southern Gales, they tightened their grip even more with Myers Cronin leading from the front, with Cara McCrone surging out of the defence to get on the score sheet. So Scarty Glen, they never gave up, but Southern Gales, they were just, their back line was rock solid, and they were incredible.
Yeah, brilliant. Two quarterfinals took place in the intermediate as well.
Sure did. And the first one there that I'm going to chat to you about is Clonmacken Moyvan versus Kirkaguina. That was out in Knockanuir, and Clonmacken Moyvan, which are my dad's team, I will give him that. Not my team, but I do support them also. Can't not, he'll kill me. They survived a shaky start to eventually overcome Kirkaguina. Despite playing with the wind early on, they fell 1-4 to 1 behind after 17 minutes, and a lot of mistakes there that kind of proved them costly. But a goal from Aaron Finucane lit the spark, and soon after, Myrna Wall palmed home another to put them ahead by half time. So the score there at half time was 2-5 to 1-5, but the second half was a different story altogether. Aisling Kelly anchored the defence brilliantly, and they struck vital goals, including a goal that gave them daylight. And then Kirkaguina, they rallied with a goal of their own, but Clonmacken Moyvan always found answers to True Finucane, Orna Wall in there also, and Musgrave. So yeah, they will need to improve for the semi-final, but their second half grit, their grit that they showed in the second half, it definitely was the difference on the day.
Yeah, most definitely. I suppose we move on to the junior then, Niamh, and some cracking contests right throughout the different junior A, B and C.
Yeah, so there was, and there was another game there also, the other...
apologies in the intermediate, yeah.
Yeah, so it was Beaufort versus Fireys. They produced a powerful second half display to see over Fireys, and they were missing the influence of Emma Costello, but it was Beaufort's goal from Grania Kennedy Kiva Reardon and Sarah Hoolan, who also played for Kerry, she just was absolutely outstanding there. So they beat Beaufort beat them 4-14 to 16 in the end, but it was a complete team performance, and then Hoolahan's finishing that stood out there in the highlights. Now, as you said, moving on to the Junior A, it was Fossa versus Lowndes Rangers, and Fossa moved into the semi-finals with a strong win over Lowndes Rangers. And Lowndes Rangers, they started off with early frees, but Fossa hit back, and then they went on to win that game on a scoreline of 2-10 at Lowndes Rangers 1-5. And then it was Spa versus Inverskeina Gaels, and that was on in Killarney. Spa proved far too strong for a youthful ISG side, with Saoirse Kelly, she was literally pulling the strings from start to finish, and despite ISG showing flashes of promise and no shortage of fight, Spa's power was just, and their experience was just way too much there. So yeah, they won on a, yeah, it was kind of a hard scoreline to look at there, 3-13 to a point.
Yeah, it's sometimes it can just be a small bit one-sided, unfortunately.
Yeah, but they have a young team coming up, so exactly. It is difficult, like, but hopefully they'll get into it next year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, Junior B then, there was no low scores in this one. It was an absolute cracker between Kilcommon and Kearns O'Rahilly's. Extra time needed.
This was probably the game of the weekend, because extra time was needed. The spectators in Farn 4 were treated to an absolute thriller. Kearns O'Rahilly's, they went all the way to extra time before taking the win, obviously. But they were playing with a breeze, led by 4 at half time. And then Kilcommon came back roaring after the break. But with just 5 minutes left, they were 3 points down, but O'Rahilly showed real grit and they kicked 3 superb points into the wind and they forced extra time. So that was 1-10 to 13. And then 2 clinical goals from Stranraer's side in the second half of extra time kind of swung the contest their way. But big shout out apparently to the referee, who deserves credit for a fine job in very tricky, tricky conditions.
And the other one then in Junior B was Listowel Emerson Vale.
Yeah, that was another close one. It was a bit of a thriller again in Ballybunion. Very close match, but Listowel, they dug deep in the second half, and with a surge of goals and points, they pulled clear to seal a hard-fought point victory there. So
brilliant stuff. And then Junior C, Group 1, Castellani and Desmond's B beat Church Hill, and it was Abidorny B beating Milltown Castlemaine, and Brusson and Knocknagoshal disposed of Drummond Pierce's. So quite a lot of games up and down between senior, intermediate and all the juniors, Niamh, and we've got plenty to look forward to as well, not this coming weekend but the following weekend in the semi-finals.
Yes, so basically the big games now, obviously they're all coming up, and senior championship, the first one, Nagail's versus Fenuig St Sinan's. That's going to be a brilliant game, because the two of these met last year in the quarterfinals. It was Fenuig St Sinan's that won that day, but Nagail seemed to be on a winning streak in this championship this year, so it's going to be very close. But there are the likes of Patrice Diggan and Jackie Horgan that are due to be back from injury, so you kind of never know what's going to happen on the day, but it will be a cracker. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and Southern Gael seem to be the informed team, and they're taking on Dan Kearney's former club in Castle Island Desmonds. That's sure to be a cracker as well.
Yes, it is going to be a cracker, because I'm excited for this one, because these two met last year in the final and Castle Island won, as we know. So will Southern Gael be out for revenge? I think so. Now, they only lost their opener against Nagail, so it's hard write them off. But then Castle Island won their game. They won all their games. They got a bye into the semi-final. So, yeah, it's hard to call that one. I'm excited for it.
Dare I ask you for predictions?
No, I can't give predictions. See, like, in the first one, I'm predicting Nagail. And only because Fenuig St Sinan's were beaten well by Castle Island Desmonds already at the start of the group round. And they've only played Scarta Glyn, who were just up from intermediate. So on paper, you would say that Nagail should win that game. But I can't call the other game.
Rita, last year's final. But yeah, I appreciate you not putting your neck on the line, Niamh, to be
no,
fair.
I'm not going
to
do
we have
that.
A lot of people to please here on this programme. And then, of course, in the intermediate, there's two cracking semi-finals to come as well.
Abby Dorney versus Clonmac in Mavan. Abby Dorney played Kirk Aguina in the opening round. They beat them way more than Clonmac in Mavan beat them this weekend. So in saying that, though, Clonmac and Mavan are definitely ones to watch in this championship, because they only lost against MK Le Gaels by a point already, and they were in the final of this championship last year. Semi-final. So yeah, both sides are having a very good championship so far. So I think that's going to be the one out of the two semi-finals that I am looking forward to most, because MK Le Gaels versus Beaufort, they're in the second semi-final. MK Le Gaels got a bye into the semis, and they've been very impressive, winning all their games the championship. And then there was only three teams in Beaufort's group, and the only team that they beat was Kirk Aguina. So MK Le Gaels would undoubtedly be the favourites going into the semi-final. I'm going to say MK Le Gaels, and then my dad will kill me if I don't say Clonmac in my van.
There you go, putting your neck on the line for all sorts. Niamh, thanks very much for all that. Yeah. And again, we've got a weekend off next weekend from the ladies, but all those semi-finals coming up the 28th, or the weekend of the 28th. So again, plenty to look forward to. Niamh, thank you very much for that. Just able to write songs about the Kerry ladies, she's able to talk about them as well. Niamh Daly, they're our very own Niamh Daly, and of course producer of Terrace Talk here as well on Radio Kerry, looking back at all the weekend's action, of course, in the Bon Secours Ladies County Football Championship, which is, as you mentioned, rightly hotting up, and some big games to come in 2 weeks' time as well. In that one, do keep your comments and views coming in to us, 083 300 3300. Could this be the end of West Kerry? Lisbol, Aunascall and Castle Gregory would not be competitive as a division. Could we expect to maybe see Keel move to West Kerry, for example? Was the fact that Gaeltacht would be used to playing with and against the Breeze regularly to be a factor in their win, and how comfortable they were against the Breeze? I think we covered both those topics a little earlier on. Do you think Fossa would have won if Pauly was 100% fit? Aina Beaglíoch, one of the future great second half display, still under 18. Yeah, and the lads mentioned Aina, one to look for the future. Generally young Gaeltacht team, of course. Sean O'Queen, Aina are under 18. JJ McLaugh, Dermot O'Shea are only 19. Thanks for these comments. Getting caught for a breach in that situation ultimately cost them. Do you think if Sennans had Barry Mahoney at their disposal, they would have won it? That minute where the two goals went in was a great watch. Paddy Mack finally getting over the line. It's great to see Aidan Breen rolling back the years, and was nice that he scored the winning penalty. And the lads mentioned plenty about Aidan a little earlier on as well. A couple in on the junior as well as we flick through the laptop. Should this game have been played in the likes of Listowel, Douai, Tarbert? Created a great atmosphere there last year. Tarbert rightly so come into this as favourites. It's a third time lucky for Tarbert. Down bodies to the US, but still playing well. David and Killian Langan, young Tarbert side. David Mulvihill, Sean Wren, Conor Egan and John Callaghan, but also good experience in Shane and Kevin Enright. Bale put off an upset against Cordell in comprehensive fashion. Is Rob Stack one for the future? So there you go, plenty of commentary after all the weekend's sporting action. As we said, if you want to join that commentary, do get in touch, 083 300 3300. But we'll be talking a bit more in depth about the Mount Hawk miracle after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 p.m. And as we mentioned before the break, time to return to the Mount Hawk miracle, I think is what we're going to nickname this one. Dear McCarney, whereabouts did you fall off your chair when the fourth goal went in?
I'd say just literally as I seen Daniel smash the ball into the net. You're kind of just seeing it break to Shawnee McGrath. You're thinking, okay, what's going to happen?
And then it just falls to Daniel Akute, and sure, the place just went absolutely ballistic. I'd say every Kerry supporter who watched it, regardless of where they were in the world, I'd say was fairly much on their feet, and maybe someone probably pulled a muscle or two celebrating, that's for sure.
Yeah, still lucky to have my voice. I must give a wander up to Mount Hope Park, maybe here tomorrow, to see if there's any cracks in the ground. The place was rocking, and you know, we say that generally in terms with soccer or football, whatever you want to refer to it, but there was just an incredible, incredible atmosphere. 1,200 people packed in. Obviously Sligo brought their bit of colour, but the Kerry fans were on their feet for the majority of even the extra time. It was great to see, and it kind of felt like the day that Kerry FC might have arrived for a lot of maybe people on the fence or the neutrals.
Absolutely. I suppose, look, we've seen a lot of great nights in Mount Hog Park over the years, and I suppose the weather didn't exactly play a huge help
in the night itself.
And we've had some really, really bad nights of weather in Mount Hog over the last couple of years as well. But no, the supporters really, I suppose, played their part. Look, when it was 3-0 on the hour mark to Sligo, they were still getting behind the team, and were still kind of, you know, making their voices heard and just trying to support the home supporters as much as you could to get behind the Kerry players. And, you know, then it became 3-1, then 3-2, and then everyone lost their mind when it was 3-3. And then when the goal went in extra time, I'd say there might have been a small earthquake registered in the Mount Hawk area around Tralee, but no, credit to the supporters. They've been really, really great for the team over the last couple of seasons since 2023, of course, when Kerry entered the league. And I think a lot of people really did take notice of Kerry to get over Sligo the last day.
Yeah, it's very hard, I suppose, to take the occasion out of it and actually break down the game a small bit. We're going to have to talk some bit about it. I suppose, look, as you mentioned there, I think it was 63-64 minutes, Sligo got their third goal. Kerry started the second half well. Sligo all first half, to be fair. Owen Elding, an absolute top class player. I think they turned down a 1.5 million transfer for him from Club Rouge there a couple of months ago, and then goes on and gets his hat-trick after 61. And it probably did feel at that stage, even though, as you mentioned, the crowd were still behind it, it felt like that was done and dusted for Sligo. If it wasn't kind of done already, it sort of felt when the two early goals went in, it kind of felt that it was kind of getting away from Kerry, and the third was nearly near enough to finally end the coffin. I'm going to be absolutely proven wrong, evidently, as we know the result, but it did feel that way, and Kerry weren't performing. But a couple of moves from the bench, and all of a sudden the kingdom came alive.
Yeah, look, Sligo are obviously going to come down with immense quality, being a Premier Division club, and are a very well-respected team and have some fantastic players. Obviously, we mentioned about Owen Elding. He's just an absolute fantastic player. You know, to get a match ball on the night that your team is in an FAI Cup final, scoring a hat-trick, and to come out on the losing side is probably just a terrible feeling for a player for that to happen to them. But no, look, Sligo started very, very strong and, you know, got the first goal, and I think it was a sucker punch that they scored the second one in such a short space of time. Kerry were kind of chasing it, and look, went in at the break. I'm sure there was plenty of stern words said in the Kerry dressing room, and then on the hour mark, yeah, they get the third goal, and some people on social media were saying that was it. Sligo were advancing into the semi-finals.
including the
governing body, and that Kerry were out of it. And look, as you mentioned, Kerry started to ring the changes at that point. We're just trying to get a few things right. And then, you know, a few minutes later, Keane Brosnan puts the ball in the back of the net. It's 3-1. Then you get the penalty. Joe Adams sticks that away. So we're thinking, okay, look, it's 3-2. It's 3-2. Game on. And Kerry, to their credit, really showed maturity, really showed experience to just keep at it. Look, they had nothing really to lose in those final few minutes, just to throw everything at it to try and get a result. And then the second goal from Keane Brosnan just sent the place into raptures, and no better feeling than a local player as well getting you into that that extra time. And look, credit to Daniel Akute as well. He was out for a few games with that suspension, was coming back into the team, definitely wanted to prove himself again after the suspension. I think he might have been disappointed the way it had happened that night against Finn Harps, but boy, did he get his name up in lights on Friday night.
What happens, Sligo Rovers? I mean, obviously you mentioned the pull of the crowd and getting the goal back. There was belief set into the team. Kerry went at them. Kerry probably run one of the most informed teams in both divisions, granted. But at the end of the day, Sligo, bigger player budgets, they're in the Premier Division. How can they lose a 3-goal lead in Mount Hawke Park? Or that's probably the question they're asking themselves as well.
Yeah, I really think it's a question that they're asking themselves. I think their supporters after the game were like, what happened? You know, I know they made a substitution and suddenly everyone was saying, well, that player now is off the pitch. Like, was that the reason that they capitulated? I honestly can't really put a finger to it. I just think maybe just Kerry just showed the belief in that final half an hour that once the first goal went in, they just went at it and put Sligo under the cosh. Look, I suppose it's your home venue. Sligo haven't played in Mount Hawke Park. They haven't played against Kerry FC before, and maybe just the nerves started to get him, even when you were 3-0 up, that maybe when Kerry started to get that little bit of confidence and suddenly it became 3-2, mistakes started to creep into their game that little bit. They weren't on the front foot anymore. They weren't playing with the same tenacity and were really, you know, dictating the tempo, dictating the possession. Kerry just seemed to really, really come into their stride and made history to become the first team in FAI Cup history to come from 3-0 down to win on the night.
Talk to me a small bit about the draw. Course, they're heading to Tallaght now to take on the most recognisable club in Ireland, in of course in Shamrock Rovers, Sunday the 5th of October, live on RTÉ2 television. Huge occasion for the club, and I know there might be a lot of people around disappointed it isn't a home game, and that's understandable too, but it's a great chance for these players to go up to Tallaght, show them what they're made of, head off into the RTÉ coverage, absolutely nothing to lose, they're on merit, and all of a sudden you're playing a team who's coming home from Sparta Prague on the Thursday in the Europa Conference League. It's a huge chance for the youngsters at Kerry FC.
Oh, absolutely. I think ever since Kerry were brought into the League of Ireland, everyone was kind of saying, you know, we'd love a glamour tie against Shamrock Rovers. And we've seen glamour ties for Kerry, not only in Mount Hawke Park, but, you know, the likes of, you know, taking on Dundalk this season, Bowes coming down in the Cup last year, Drogheda coming down, Cork City, Waterford, Galway in the last couple of years, like really strong historic clubs in the League of Ireland. But Shamrock Rovers was always the one that, you know, we love Shamrock Rovers. Look, an away trip to Tallaght is going to be a fantastic opportunity. And, you know, who would have thought way back in 2023 that, you know, in your third season playing in the League of Ireland, you'd be in an FAI Cup semi-final on live TV and the game having to be moved because your opponents are playing in Europe and it has to suit the television coverage as well. It's just going to be a huge occasion. As you said, look, the Kerry lads, I don't think have much to lose. You know, they're going to want to go up to Tallaght Stadium and prove a point and against Shamrock Rovers. And I'm sure the vocal Kerry FC supporters on Friday night will love a chance to get into Tallaght Stadium and match their voices with a rowdy home supporters from Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, you mentioned that it is a good chance for, I mentioned the players, but the supporters need to be mentioned here as well, in that, you know, they've been up and down the country, north, south, east and west, to Donegal and Wexford and these places in wet, damp nights. But now is a great chance for them to, you know, the biggest League of Ireland stadium in the country. I think it's about 10,000 capacity. You know, to get to see Kerry put it up to the best team in the country by a long shot this season as well. It is a great reward for the supporters as well. I suppose it's a case of where obviously everyone was hoping to get to the Aviva, and that challenge might have got a small bit more difficult playing Shamrock Rovers. But you can only play who's in front of you, and this is the reward now to get to go up to Tallaght and enjoy a game in a big proper stadium. And it's a great experience for the supporters as much as the players.
Absolutely. I believe the allocation for away teams when they go to Tallaght is about 950. I think that was the case when they played, when Shamrock Rovers played St. Pat's in the league earlier on this year. Of course, St. Pat's supporters went away and bought 200 home tickets for the same game. Unfortunately, those got taken away from them. But look, there's plenty of space there for Kerry FC supporters to go up. And yeah, no doubt, look, Tallaght Stadium is, I suppose, it's a venue that has been used by Ireland teams over the last couple of years. It's you know, it's, I suppose, one step below the Viva in terms of where we'll see national teams playing in the country. It is the biggest League of Ireland ground. It's where a lot of people want to go to. So, yeah, look, it's such a, I suppose it's such a great achievement for the players as well. You know, they really showed their determination, and not many people had thought that maybe they would have beaten Cove that night to book their place in the quarterfinals, and even Sligo was going to be a daunting task. And when it was 3-0, it looked like it was a mountain that could never be climbed. But look, it's going to be an amazing feeling for the players to run out in Tallaght Stadium that night, for the club, for the supporters to see them there as well. Just shows the growth in such a short space of time to be in a cup semi-final, and who knows what could happen. We've seen that, as you called it, the miracle in Mount Hawk Park. Could we have a miracle in Tallaght Stadium as well? We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, most definitely. And I suppose, finally, Dermot, there is a great link between Shamrock Rovers and Kerry over the years. Obviously, our CEO, or Kerry FC's CEO, Billy Dennehy, was, of course, a stalwart for Rovers when they were playing in Europe, kind of first back in the 2011, 2012, playing the likes of Tottenham Hotspur. And, of course, Tralee's Gary O'Neill playing for Shamrock Rovers against what is now his home team. Wasn't his home team when he was in Tralee, but now his home county and his home club. And, of course, Cian Barrett, who was playing for Shamrock Rovers, spent two seasons on loan with Kerry FC. So there's a lot of connections between the two clubs as well, which just adds maybe to the story and the excitement.
It is. I'm sure Gary would have loved the chance to have maybe had it as an away trip back down to Kerry to Mount Hawk Park. Of course, look, he played schoolboy soccer in Kerry, Kingdom Boys, and was kicking a ball around Mount Hawk Park as a young fella, and has had such a tremendous career. And obviously playing now with Shamrock Rovers, he was in Europe last year with them and gets another crack of it again this year. And I think it'll be great for him to take on a team like Kerry FC. I know when Kerry FC did come into the league, of course, that was mentioned to him going, would you like to get the chance to play against them or even join them at some point in his career? And he said definitely be looking for the challenge. And look, it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, Keane as well loved his time down in Kerry, not only once but twice he was on loan down here. So there's definitely strong links, Billy Dennehy as well. So look, there'll be, I'd say, friends off the pitch, but definitely rivals on it for those 90 minutes. But look, it'll be interesting to see, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about it nearer the time. But be interesting, no doubt, to see Kerry FC going toe-to-toe with arguably the biggest team in the country in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and not far away at all, Dermot. The time is fastly ticking away, so we'll be there Sunday fortnight, and looking forward to making that journey. And I'm sure, as I said, we'll chat hopefully the Monday evening this time 3 weeks, and we'll be looking ahead to Kerry FC playing in the Viva Stadium. But Dermot, thanks as ever for that, and enjoy the build up to the semi-final.
Thanks, Ivan.
Thanks, Billy. That's Dermot Carney there, our resident Kerry FC man, after what we've, I think we're okay to nickname it the Mount Hawk Miracle at this stage. I think as a, what's that word, alliteration, I think is what I'm looking for, maybe not. Anyway, that's it. Dermot Carney on Kerry FC's 4-3 win over Sligo Rovers after extra time. We're heading to St. Pat's GA next, and their upcoming fundraiser, an upcoming event or challenge, if you want to call it. That's Tralee's Fittest Joe. We'll be chatting about that after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Order your 261 Skoda now at Liam Lynch Skoda to avail of our amazing 0% PCP finance on all models, including the all-new, all-electric L-Rock. Available to test drive at our showrooms. We're also offering 4.9% finance on our stock of used cars, including 251 demos and courtesy cars. Terms and conditions apply. Only at Liam Lynch Skoda, Farn 4.
Did you know that every time you buy your Radio Kerry Radio Bingo book for just €5, you're supporting Kerry Hospice, Comfort for Chemo Kerry, Recovery Haven and Kerry Cancer Support Group. You're also giving yourself the chance to win or share in the daily prize of €400 and the weekly jackpot on Friday. For more details, stay tuned to Radio Kerry or search Bingo on radiokerry.ie.
This week at Dunn Stores, we have more of the food you enjoy at prices you'll love, like avocados for just 49 cents each, nets of lemons and punnets of pears only 69 cents each, and pineapples, trays of red apples and bags of baby peppers just 89 cents each. And pick up our Dunn Stores plain tortilla wraps 8-pack, only €1.09, and salted popcorn 9-pack for just €1.99. And save more with your 10 off 50 or 5 off 20.
25 vouchers. Dunn Stores, always better value. Terms and conditions apply. Vouchers can be used on next grocery shop.
Radio Kerry News, keeping you up to date with the latest news for Kerry, 7 days a week.
Search and rescue organisations from Kerry were part of a successful multidisciplinary operation after a man fell from the Tarbert to Calimer ferry.
Gardaí and Killarney are appealing for information after 120 sheep appear to have been stolen over the past 4 months.
14 potential candidates seeking support for the upcoming presidential election outlined their vision for the presidency at a special meeting of Kerry County Council.
For breaking news from around the kingdom, hear it first with our main bulletins at 9am, 1 and 5.30 weekdays, 6pm at weekends. Radio Kerry, your trusted source for news.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. As I mentioned, we're talking to Liam Poff and Darren McAvoy regarding Tralee's Fittest Joe, which is coming up from St. Pat's. I was going to start by explaining it, but Daniel, if you want to maybe start off and actually tell us what exactly it's all about instead of me making a butcher's job of it.
That's okay. So it's typically a High Rocks kind of styled inspired event, but we wanted to switch it up. We wanted to kind of bring in Ireland's fittest families as well, so we brought in exercises like log carries, tyre drags, and we have a surprise challenge at the end as well. So we kind of want to keep it fun, but we also want to keep it kind of High Rocks, because High Rocks is varying at the moment.
Yeah, it sounds like my sort of punishment that I would stay away from, but obviously it's well liked by a lot of people. We were just chatting off air a small bit there, and the whole High Rocks thing is kind of a trend.
Oh, it's a big
on
trend
social
at
media at the
yeah.
moment.
Yeah, it's a big trend. And we have two categories on the day. So we have the semi-pro and we have the advanced. Now, the semi-pro would be kind of for the regular gym goers, and then for the advanced to be kind of the die-hard people. Now, I know with people's egos that they'd want to go for the advanced one, but I'm just going to give a fair warning that it is going to be tough on the day.
Yeah. But as we said, we'd gladly take anyone's money, whichever one they want to do. Yeah. So we'll have to do it.
Set themselves up for failure completely.
Yeah.
I suppose, lads, it's obviously you mentioned High Rocks. It's completely something completely different to GAA. So obviously it's a nice little fundraiser for St. Pat's, and it's something different. It's you know, as you mentioned, it's kind of that Ireland's fittest family sort of test yourself against all sorts of things, but all to raise money back for the GAA club as well. So it's nice to have that little link.
Yes,
you know yourself, they're running a small club like that. It's actually very hard, a lot of costs. So we're thinking outside the box, find a way of bringing in a few quid, and I could actually torture my wife as well doing it. So she's actually she's teaming up with me the next day now. So we're going to have fun. If we survive that, we'll get a good 2 years out of the marriage, I'd say, after. So
yeah, talk to me a small bit, I suppose, on that. In you know, in kind of the way of how does someone win this sort of thing? Are you against the clock? Are you up against yourself personally? What's the sort of scoring sort of side of it? How can you go on and say you won the St. Pat's Street Fitness Duo?
Well, we're going to break it down into a few categories. You can come as a same-sex couple, mixed everything yeah. like that.
And then female.
It's going to be time-based in. So I'd say we can engage 30, 35 minutes that way if you can get around the whole circuit.
Yeah. Punishment.
Yeah. But wouldn't you feel great after it?
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know.
That's the main thing.
You won't sign me up anyway, I'll tell you that. But it is all jokes aside. It is sort of a thing of where it has become more popular, and you are seeing it kind of everywhere. This kind of, I suppose, test your body. We had a guy on a couple of weeks ago chatting about the ultra, the Kerry Way ultra, and you're kind of saying, how could anyone want to go out and do that? But people do, and it is part of life, isn't it? It's kind of it's in the brain a small bit of where you'll be kind of, you know, pushing yourself to the very limit for to get the best results.
We funny enough, we had a club wedding there on Friday. Kieran Hurley, St. Pat's legend, he was getting married there, and I tell you, the talk at the table, everyone was asking me about it, what's involved, everything like that. So we're going to really try and push over the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
and get it, like, even on, you know, a lot of people had a few pints taken, so they're all signing up for that stage. I should have shared the link at the wedding the last day.
We'd got a few.
Yeah.
I suppose, Darren, I suppose is it on in the GA club?
Yeah, it's on the St. Pat's GA club. It is on the 28th of September, And it starts from 9 o'clock and it finishes at 4 or 5ish.
4 or 5 o'clock, yeah. We've good numbers.
Whatever
so far,
time people get.
I think we'll Pop is doing it twice, so whatever time he finishes.
We'll have the old defibrillators on standby as well.
Yeah. So. I suppose just kind of equipment wise and everything else, you're mentioning log carries and everything else. There's obviously a good bit of setup as well, so a few volunteers from the club involved.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about St. Pat's is that there is a lot of volunteers and everybody is happy to help out when it's fundraising and stuff for the club, which is great.
Good community spirit out in Blenheim as well. I've got a few friends there from the time in college. There's kind of a good little tight-knit community around the club there in St. Pat's, and a lot of people just willing to kind of help out to do anything for the club.
Yeah, it's great. No, to be fair, I couldn't ask for anything better setting it up. No. He's going to say that it's his idea.
We have this argument all night.
Well, you should give a thanks to Marie as well, actually.
Yeah, thanks to Marie Fitzgibbon as well for helping me out.
We had everything in the club, actually. Yeah. She's fantastic. She just takes the reins. We came up with the idea and Marie just takes it on then. She's absolutely fantastic. So
It is brilliant, Liam, with I suppose that kind of club spirit and the kind of, I suppose, that drive to kind of raise funds. And this time of year could be tough. The kids are going back to school. There's, you know, there are bits and pieces on around the place, so it is hard to kind of raise these things, but I suppose you've used a bit of an ingenuity here. You've kind of pulled two things that we're used to maybe watching the telly and like that on the social media and all bring into the club for all to get money back into the club as well.
Oh yeah, anything we can do to get money in is just fantastic. I suppose the running costs are just crazy, but this is hitting a different target market. You're not hitting the normal sponsors that we have, so you're getting people outside the club. There's a girls group there that do a lot of fitness there with down to school, should I say, and they're bringing teams. There's 4 or 5 teams coming out of there alone anyway, so you're hitting a different market. You're hitting different people from different clubs as well coming out to do it, so it's great. You're not taking money out of St. Pat's back in again, so it's not too bad.
And there's a good competitive nature in football, Liam, so I'm sure when it comes to this there might be a few of your senior lads going up against each other. None of them will want to lose.
I think the toughest would be myself and the brother, right? he's doing it with his wife and I'm doing it with mine, so there could be a good bit of rivalry in that one. It's not often I beat him at much, so hopefully we'll be aiming for this one.
Absolutely. And look, if people are listening this evening and say I want to give that a go, be it the kind of amateur class or the more advanced one there might be telling people to avoid, where can people maybe find out a bit more information and where can they sign up?
It's on Eventbrite and the link is on Trilly Fitness Duos on Instagram. It is also shared by St. Pat's and it can be, is there anywhere else?
Contact myself directly at the garage and I'll tell you where it is.
We'll find it. If people really want to do it, they'll find it. If not, they'll be gone. Lads, look, the very best of luck with it. It's great to have it, and again a great initiative by St. Pat's GA and everything. So Tralee's Fittest Geo, if you think you can win that title, head to St. Pat's on the 28th. We'll take a break and a new sport coming to Tralee. We'll tell you more about that after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until about 8 o'clock, so another 10 minutes or so. Just enough time to introduce you to, well, a relatively new sport, a new sport for Kerry people anyway, and first time it's come to the Kingdom, and said we might have seen it on social media in different places, but the sport of paddle is coming to the Kingdom. And what is paddle, you might ask? Well, I've got the two men who's going to explain that to us. It's David O'Brien and Tim Denny have joined us this evening. They're took time out of their busy schedule. We've been watching them on TikTok here the last couple of weeks, busy painting and rolling floors and everything else in Mona Valley. Lads, you're welcome first of all to the programme. I suppose, David, we might start with you and just maybe explain maybe what the sport of paddle actually is first and foremost, and then we can might explain then how it's coming to Kerry after all that.
So paddle is the fastest growing sport in the world at the moment. It's essentially a mix between tennis and squash. So it's played on generally in doubles on a court that's 20 metres by 10 metres. And it is caged in, but the back walls are glass panels. So the ball is basically allowed to bounce and then hit the wall and you return it then, similar to how kind of squash is played. We'll be opening 5 courts in our place, 3 doubles and 2 singles. Brilliant. It's mainly a double sport, but we have the facility for singles as well, because probably easier to find a partner there midweek, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously the indoor element of it, Tim, is probably fairly important as well, and that's the Kerry winter weather, as we're looking out this evening, isn't the best. So a great spot maybe to go in the winter time.
Summer's only over, like, and it's lashing down today. Like, and we were even in there cleaning windows there now today, and it was rattling away off the roof. We're thinking no one wants to be outside playing anything, so it's bring a nice good indoor sport, something to do over the winter.
Yeah, and that is the thing. We're probably short maybe in Tralee and in Kerry in general of kind of indoor venues. We've got the basketball, we've got a bit of indoor soccer, whatever else, but having that kind of indoor facility open throughout the day, evenings, whatever else, it's a great opportunity for people to go in and maybe take up a new sport as well.
Take up a new sport, and it's a social aspect to it as well. Like, it's very much a sport. You'll be jumping in and out, playing with different people. You can level up and get different rankings, so you're there trying to improve your own game. You're trying to beat this fella this week or beat her this week, and then you have the crack element to it as well, because as people are jumping in and out, they're becoming friends and they're getting better at their sport.
Yeah, absolutely. David, I suppose, when did it kind of maybe click that you said Tralee needs paddle, we're going to put a lot of money into getting a warehouse and laying these courts and painting walls and everything else and getting this set up for something that mightn't necessarily take off? It might take off, mightn't take off. You'd really hope it does for all the work you're putting into it. But what kind of clicks to say, do you know what, we're going to set up paddle in Tralee?
So we actually took a bit of a sabbatical last winter and moved to Barcelona for 6 months. We've been slaving away out in our lovely cafe in Fín at Navo. Mm-hmm. And the lovely Gabby, our manager, took over for the winter while we swanned away off and trained for a High Rocks event, in inverted commas, while we were there. So while we were over in Barca, we had a couple of friends who came over and visited us, and paddle is very, very popular in the likes of Spain and stuff at the moment. Yeah. So we jumped onto a court and had a few games with the lads, and straight away we knew it was good fun. It was so easy to kind of get into grips with the game. And immediately after like 5-10 minutes, it got super competitive. So straight away we were kind of thinking this could really work in Tralee. Obviously the most important aspect was to get an indoor venue, because the weather in Kerry is just atrocious. I mean, we get like 10 months of winter a year,
yeah,
more or less. So, I mean, while our last 3 or 4 months there in Barcelona, we were mad and daft looking for units all around the county. We searched outside the county too, but our main goal was to start it in Kerry. And lucky enough, we found the perfect spot in Mona Valley.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned there, I suppose it was the case where it's kind of popular in Europe and Spain. And I personally was introduced to paddle following Formula One drivers on social media. They always seem to be playing it in their off time. So it's obviously good for the health. But I'd imagine with kind of the doubles and kind of the smaller looking courts, it's kind of a game that you could kind of get into if you're a bit of fitness and stuff as well.
Yeah, it's hugely accessible, because you see the likes of the Formula One drivers and a lot of like professional soccer players are playing it at the moment too. I think Liverpool have a court in their training ground. Purely because while it's competitive and while you get a good workout, it's not as strenuous on the body, which makes it very accessible to people of all age groups. But what was I going to say?
It's kind of accessible to everyone, probably all fitness levels and kind of ages as well.
So,
it's perfect for anyone to take over, like, be it if you want to be ultra competitive and getting stuck into it, or if you are the people who need something that's accessible. Like, it's not too bad in your knees if you're a bit older. It's a huge thing to have people of a certain generation playing, and again, they need a social aspect as well to their lives. And it's we even are taking on a person now who's going to be running or over 50s, Sandra Lopez. She's been involved in the sport for over 10 years. She's coming from Spain herself, and she's going to bring a real element of getting the older generations into it, because she says she loves it. She said the paddle saved her life. She raves about it, so we're delighted to have her on board. As well as Sandra, we've Pablo. We're going to be picking up Pablo now from the airport tomorrow. Pablo is our coach that we're bringing over. He has about 5 years experience as a coach. He's been playing paddle for over 20 years. So we said we had to bring an OG fella, a real deal. Like, you couldn't have a paddle club without having the few Spanish there. Like, so it's brilliant to be bringing over the likes of them. So Pablo will be running classes. He'll be able to do one-on-ones. He's going to do group classes. He can do everything from beginner, intermediate, advanced. He's going to be doing juniors, so it's brilliant to bring the likes of them over and get them involved.
Yeah, and it's probably important as well for the youngsters to maybe come up and taste it for the first time. Did they get some bit of kind of, I wouldn't say proper coaching or anything, but someone to kind of guide them along the way? They might try to keep it fun. Some people will be in it to try obviously win it, but you know, it'll be a case of there's someone there to kind of guide these kids along the way and kind of show them how it's probably properly played or whatever else.
Exactly, because we'll only show them how much we know, but sure, how much do we know? We kind of know how to put them together, and we've only played a bit ourselves. We'd only be the blind leading the blind, so we said we have to bring over someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Talk to me about the kitting out, because that's what kind of got my attention. Been following the progress on TikTok the last couple of weeks, and it's been great to get the updates, and it's funny when they pop up, you see how far it's kind of come along. You were up scaffolds painting yourselves, and you were over and back, and the lads came and put down the courts, and it just got really exciting that all of a sudden it's kind of at the project at the end. I don't know what I'll do on TikTok now. I would have no one else to watch. But I suppose, just talk to me, I suppose, about the fitting out. You walk in, there's this huge empty warehouse, you have the vision of the five courts, ordering those courts and everything. It must take a lot of time, and the outfitting of it.
It was a lot of just kind of put the head down work. Like, it definitely have to give a big shout out to Shawnee Mack and Brendan, the groundskeepers in the industrial estate. They've been a great help to us. They've been in and out constantly helping us. So we kind of got everything out, and then once that was out, then you can kind of see the space. Then it was lash the paint onto the walls, and again, that's another job where it's just the donkey work. Put the head down, put the headphone on, have the 12-hour day kind of shift, go away at it yourselves.
Just got to do it.
Just got to do it, yeah. You just got to do it. So once we had that kind of all teared away, we had ordered the courts from, we dealt with the brilliant Yvonne from Dolan PCI. Especially want to give her a shout out. We've had a lot of people on social media contacting us in our DMs and comments asking, where do I get courts? Where do I get courts? From all over the country and over, actually all over the UK as well. So a special shout out to Yvonne. She helped us way out and couldn't have been better. She guided us from day one. They deal with a major set, which are the main distributor in, or the main producer, excuse me, of paddle courts in Spain. They do all top of the range competition grade courts. So it was great dealing with them. They were able to get us exactly what we needed. They held our hand the whole way, because again, we were going into this fairly blind.
Pretty unknown,
So it was great. So they were able then to bring them way down, ship them into us. They flew in specialised installers from Spain. We had one lovely Spanish fella, a lovely Romanian lad, and then a lad in from Colombia. It was a great old gang of us in there for a few weeks, tearing away at it. But they did the whole thing from start to finish, in fairness to them. It was just our job then to do everything else around it.
And they'll obviously last a certain amount of time, you'd hope, anyway.
Forever,
warranty.
Brilliant. That's great too. And I suppose you're model businessmen, lads. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a new venture. It's a new sport. Kerry is a great sporting county. We like to try our hands at anything. So you really hope it is a kind of a success and it does take off. I suppose, Tim, just for people, you know, that might be kind of half tempted, David, tonight to say, you know, I might go up and have a half hour of that. I assume you can kind of maybe rock up, will there be a few rackets there? Do we need to bring our own equipment? How long roughly are we on a court for? Just kind of rough information for people.
So generally, the court bookings are between an hour and a half. We also will be, we'll have rackets and balls available. The rackets will be available to rent, and you'll be able to purchase the balls on site, but you can bring them back again once you come and play and reuse them.
Mm-hmm.
So the courts are going to be open on Saturday coming, so we're really excited. Saturday the 20th they're going to be opening. We're going to be having our bookings going live tomorrow.
Brilliant.
So hopefully by 8 o'clock tomorrow we'll have the bookings live. We have our own dedicated app, so you can go on to the App Store or to your Android store, Kerry Paddle Centre. If you look that up, you'll be able to find and be able to make an account, and you can sign away up. So our bookings will be going live tomorrow, but then the first day is going to be Saturday 8 a.m. Our opening hours then, we're going to be open Monday to Sunday every day of the week. We're going to be 8 a.m. until 11 p.m.
Wow.
So Every hour that's going, really. Like, every hour that's going.
No, absolutely. And I'm sure you get the crowds up as well. Lads, we're completely out of time, but thanks very much for popping in.
Thank you very much.
We wish you both the very best of luck and the great success. And never know, myself and Niamh might pop up for an all game of paddles immediately after Terrace Talk. We'll pop up and test it out. Thanks to everyone for this evening's programme. The lads chatting football, of course, in the first hour. To Niamh, who was chatting the ladies, and of course to Diarmaid on the Kerry FC comeback, and to the lads from St. Pat's for Tralee's Fittest Duo. We might have the two Fittest Duo in here in front of us in the high rocks.
Their money, all right.
Yeah, you may as well enter that. That's on Sunday the 28th. You're probably too busy with the paddle. We'll be back again next Monday. Tim's in for me. I'm away with Kerry FC next Monday night, and I'll be back in 2 weeks. Time. Mary Conroy's up next. Thanks to Niamh for producing the programme. We'll be back again next Monday evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.